The Man with No Face by Gertrude Minnie Robbins. I am no raconteur. This is not a story. It is a case. I chose it from among many very strange experiences because it is, to me, inexplicable. And some of you, in the plenitude of youth and knowledge, may feel able to explain it to me. 10 years ago, the north of England was horrified by a crime, the circumstances of which may be in the memories of some of you. One of the dramatis personae was a patient of mine, and of his share in the matter, I will tell you what I know. A young man named Randall Shirley, who had, I believe, made money in Australia, married a Scotch girl, a Miss Violet Rothsay, and they arrived, in course of their honeymoon travels, at Ryleigh, the popular inland watering place where I was then in practice. One day, I received a visit from Mrs. Shirley, an interesting-looking girl, whose appearance, though not robust, was indicative of perfect health, her general air that of birth and breeding, her dress and manners attractive, decidedly attractive. We had hardly shaken hands before she blurted out abruptly, "Are you good at mental cases?" "I'm not a specialist, but I am interested in the study of brain disease," I replied. "I come to ask you to do a curious thing," she said, with some hesitation and a little added colour. "I want you to come and dine at the hotel with my husband and me tonight. We've been married 10 days. I want you to pretend to be an old friend of my family, to account naturally for my inviting you. My husband knows none of my friends, so there is no likelihood of his being suspicious. I have here written down a few details to guide you, in case of your being able to do as I wish, such as my name and those of my family, the place we live in, and so on. Do you think you could come?" I was surprised, of course, but it was by no means the first curious request that had been made to me, and I confess that my interest was stimulated. "I must, of course, ask what would be the real object of my visit," I said. She waited a little before replying. "I don't want to say anything that might give you a clue," she said at last. "I want you to be quite unbiased, simply to watch Mr. Shirley and me, and to report to me faithfully afterwards anything that seems to be unusual. After dining with us, you will naturally call upon me next day, and if you come between 11 and 12, my husband will be drinking the waters, and you can see me alone. Then we can talk." I said I would come. I felt sure she was sincere. Her looks declared her to be, in every sense, a lady, and her manner betrayed an amount of controlled agitation which called out my sympathy. "Whatever you may notice," said she, as she thanked me, "pretend to see nothing unusual." I promised. We made the necessary arrangements, and I went to the hotel that night. We dined in a private room. The husband was a heavily built man, about 35 years old. He was rather handsome, in a rough-hewn way, but without his wife's air of distinction. He was taking the waters for rheumatism, and had a slight stiffness of the right shoulder. His eyes were clear, steady, very blue, impressing you at first with the idea of great candour. But I very soon began to feel that this appearance was delusive. The first thing I was able to feel sure of about him was his devotion to his wife, the devotion of a man who is past his youth, and loves, as one might say, irretrievably. Whatever else in his life might have lacked the element of devotion, and I thought there might be much, he was at least a devout lover. There is no mistaking the symptoms. I felt her watching me as I watched him. I could see her eyes following mine. I could feel, and more strongly as the evening wore on, that she was wishing, or expecting, that I should become aware of something which eluded me.